So we begin a new series this summer, this morning, simply entitled Wisdom. There you go, from the book of Proverbs. And we have a challenge during the month of August. I know we're a couple weeks away, but we're encouraging everyone in the congregation to read through the book of Proverbs. How many know how many chapters in the book of Proverbs? 31. There's 31 days this year in the month of August, and so we're asking everyone to read one chapter every single day. We'll also be doing social media, encouraging you every day with the scripture from the book of Proverbs. And also, we're inviting you to read the book of Proverbs out loud. There's a distinction to just kind of reading it, and you kind of forget what you read. But when you read it, and you read it out loud, it does something to your mind and in your spirit. So with a quick, I'm giving you 2 weeks to prepare, but how many, with just the information I've given you, will take the challenge with us as a church? We're all going to do it. The 9 o'clock, 10:30, the deacons, the pastors, we're all going to do it together. How many will read the book of Proverbs, one chapter every day with a quick show of hands? All right, everybody else, we're going to have a quick altar call for you. Just, we're going to have you come up, and hopefully you'll go to heaven too, all right? So, but there's a reason why we're doing it, because we want people to become wise. You know, wisdom that kind of God gives you from above, and we're believing that. If you're raising children, or you're working corporate America, you're trying to run your own small group, your own small business, or working government, or you're raising children, or you're just trying to live the Christian life in a dirty world, you say, well, how do you do that? You do that with wisdom that God can give you. Let me just give you an oversight of a couple of verses in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding. The next one says this, Proverbs 16, verse 16. How much better to get wisdom than gold, to get insight rather than silver. And then finally, know also that wisdom is like honey for you. If you find it, there's a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Do you see God wants to bless you? He wants you to have priorities and not gold, but have a value of your life. And he wants to help the future of your life. Now, last week, you remember, we had a missionary. Didn't Mike Behnke, wasn't that an incredible missionary presentation? But you remember 2 days before that, there was a tragedy that happened in Dallas. And so this past week, people asked me, like, well, what did you tell the congregation about what happened in Dallas? I said, well, I never had a chance to address it because we had a missionary that spoke. And so there's lots of opinions about the police and race and government and who the next president, all this stuff. And I'm not here to talk about politics, but I do think it's important that whoever says anything should use wisdom. And I don't know if you saw the president of the United States. He had a thing on ABC with host David Muir, said the president and the people on Thursday. And there was a last question by police chief of Milwaukee. His name was Edward Flynn. And he asked the president a question about the police and the race and violence and all that. And he gave an answer that I think is critical to America, but maybe even more so. I appeal to those who believe in Jesus Christ and our response to difficult times in our life. Would you just listen to this one-minute interview and response from the president of the United States?
When an event like this happens, in the same way that I expect any Black Lives Matter person to express sincere sorrow if a police officer is shot, I think it's useful for police departments when something happens, without in any way compromising an investigation, just expressing real grief and sorrow that there was a loss. Kindness and compassion, particularly coming from the two sides expressed across this divide, that makes a big difference. Because sometimes people just want acknowledgement. They want to feel as if their concerns are being heard and resonate.
And I got to say, we saw so much of that in Dallas. The protesters who then showed up at those patrol cars, that became a moving tribute that grew before our eyes.
Did you hear that? The value of people. oftentimes in our culture, people actually have like these different statuses and these values, and we have all these opinions. And I see sometimes people like put on social media all different types of stuff. And all I would say to you is be very wise when you put it out there, because not everybody agrees with you. And not everybody has the same angle, and everyone hasn't walked in the same footsteps as you have, and we put it out there. All I would say is we need wisdom. And believers, we listen to a whole nother rule. You know what the golden rule is? Love your neighbor as yourself. So with all this hatred and all these problems in America, Christ comes, he has the answer. But if we will execute with wisdom, God will help us. Matter of fact, Jesus is our example. He grew in wisdom and in stature. In my hands are my car keys and my house keys. And I want to share with you three of the keys, if you will, to enter the house of wisdom. And I want you to visit that house of wisdom. I want you to eat in the house of wisdom. I want you to take a nap in the house of wisdom and actually live in the house of wisdom. And the wisdom God will give you to live your life in every area of your life. The first is this: a humble spirit. You say, how do I have wisdom in my life? It comes from a humble spirit. Psalm 111 verse 10 says it like this: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. I kind of jumped ahead of myself. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 1 through 7 is our text. Let me read to you this idea of humbling ourselves before God in his word. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel: for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So the first step, or the first key, if you will, is this idea of having a humble spirit before God to receive the wisdom. J.I. Packer is a theologian, historian of the church. This is what he says if you want to have a life of wisdom. Not until we have become humble and teachable, standing in awe of God's holiness and sovereignty, acknowledging our own littleness, distrusting our own thoughts, and willing to have our minds turned upside down, can divine wisdom become ours. It is feared that many Christians spend all of their lives in too unhumbled and conceited a frame of mind to ever gain wisdom from God at all. We're talking about a wisdom that comes from God. And I just want to tell you, it is not easy. This faith walk with God is not a cakewalk. I don't know if some of you are old enough to remember back in 1980, a man by the name of Mac Davis sang a song that goes like this: oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror because I get better looking every day. To know me is to love me. I must be a hell of a man. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best I can. You know, you say, why does God make a big deal about this being humble? In the book of James, it says that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Why is that? Why do we extend our hands and say, God, I don't have time for you, I don't have time for your word, to your voice? But those who will come close to God, why does God give them a sense of grace or help in their life? You know, some of you grew up in a church or a religious experience that this front area you're not supposed to walk in, right? Only the religious or the priest or the rabbi or the minister, but not around here. You can't walk here. But if you would come to our church or a Pentecostal charismatic church, we're at the altar all the time. Isn't that true? Matter of fact, we actually took out the right where you guys' feet are. We took out a whole row of chairs because we want people to come to an altar. You say, well, what's so special about an altar or in a Pentecostal church? Why this expression? Why stand up? Why come close? The altar is a place where people come and they humble themselves, or they acknowledge they don't know everything, but that God does. And just a gentle reminder that our thoughts are not God's thoughts, and God's thoughts are not our thoughts. So when you come to an altar and you come, you lift your hands or you kneel down, you say, oh, dear God, I cannot do this without you. I humble myself in your presence. You say, why would you do that? Why would you do that? Because if you want to live a life of wisdom, then you must not trust yourself and all of your ideas. You must trust that God has an ultimate plan for your life. And so that's why, now, I just have to tell you, even in Pentecostal charismatic churches, most churches aren't even opening up the altar anymore for their people. They're basically saying to their people, the preacher is saying, you have enough smarts on your own. And I'm not talking about education. Listen, college was the best 8 years of my life. I just want to tell you that. It was a great time. You know, I have a BA and all, but I'm talking about a wisdom that God gives you. And it only happens when you humble yourself and you put yourself before God and say, God, would you speak into my life? Listen to this. Joyce Meyer says this. As we receive his love and find our true worth in him, then we can truly enjoy our purpose in life and live in contentment. So many people are miserable, constantly comparing themselves to others who are smarter, prettier, or more successful. And that's why I challenge you, when the first thing you do when you wake up, don't check social media, Snapchat, Instagram, or Facebook. Because what happens is other people are on vacation. You're like, well, I don't get a vacation this year. And other kids are better looking than you. And everything's going better for everybody else. And you're all down and discouraged even before you start your day. And God is saying to you, hey, listen, I love you. And if you will humble yourself and you will find your identity in Christ and you'll have your life through me, I will give you a life, an eternal life that has nothing of the world and will be full of wisdom before Almighty God. God loves you and he cares deeply for you, and it starts with a humble spirit before Almighty God. So simply, what you have to do is say, Lord, I don't know everything. I can't figure everything out. I don't have all the answers, but you do, and I'm going to put my faith and trust in you. I humble myself before you is the first key, if you will, to the house of wisdom. The second key to the house of wisdom is a hungry soul. You say, what do you mean? Psalm 27 says this, verse 4. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Notice this. This is like a hunger and a desire and a passion of the psalmist, Psalm David. One thing I ask the Lord, this is the only thing I want, is to be close to him and be in God's house and dwell in his house. That's not America today. The average Christian today only goes to church two times a month. That's not this passion, like this desire, this hunger for God. Look at the next verse. Listen to the psalmist. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with him or meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, like this hunger and this desire and this passion for God. I have to tell you, I'm struggling. I'm struggling hard. I've been working out for the last 3 weeks. We have a personal trainer in the church, and I've been getting up every morning at 6 o'clock, driving 22 minutes to Southampton. And this guy is taking my foot and wrapping it around my head. I'm like sore all the time for 3 weeks, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I have been going and working out with him, taking my middle daughter, JoJo, and it's been good, family bonding time. But I haven't lost 1 pound. And here's the problem. I'm hungry all the time. And so you know what he said to me? Well, what are you eating? I'm like, none of your business when I'm eating. You wake me up at 6:30, you wrap my foot all the way around my head. I'm sore. I can't walk in a straight line. I'm walking like a chicken up the church. I'm dying here. He goes, you need to get on a food plan. I said, you need to get on a food plan. So he like writes up this whole food plan. A cardboard box for breakfast, a flour for lunch, and a rock with a dip of honey and whatever for dinner. I'm like, man, I'm going to be fat and go to heaven. I don't care, man. I'm mad at this guy. I'm real close to cursing. I mean, it was really bad. It was really bad. Because I'm hungry. Does anyone know I'm hungry? Like, you know how the Bible says in heaven it's going to be like the marriage supper of the Lamb? I'm really looking forward to that. But like, we understand, like, physically, when you're hungry, you want to eat. You don't want anyone telling you that you can't eat when you want to eat. You kind of get that. They're like this desire. You're hungry. You just want to fulfill that. The Bible talks about this idea of having this hunger for God, to be in his house, to worship him, to be in fellowship, to give, to serve, whatever is important to him, like this hunger, this desire that's deep inside of us. And I'm just going to tell you, the more time that you spend with God, or the more time you spend with God's people or in church or in small group or even Wednesday night, when you will grow in wisdom if you have a desire deep in your heart. And God will bless you with that. Listen to Proverbs chapter 2. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear towards wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as silver and search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. But you have to be a part of it. You have to ask. You have to allow your heart to engage in passion. Do you feel my passion? I mean, if you sing, you don't get up here, bless the Lord, oh my, get down, bless the Lord. I mean, if you play sport, play, do it as unto the Lord. If you preach, do it unto the Lord. If you love the Lord, then go after it. If you want wisdom, then you have to go after it. You have to apply yourself. You have to walk with the wise. You have to be close to the wise. And God will bless you for that. It's devoted. It's hungry. It's passionate. Invested. Committed. You're leaning in, if you will, towards God's goodness. It's the hungry soul. And the hungry soul will find blessing from the Lord. You remember Jesus said this, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We did a teaching on this. This is not someone who's just kind of like hungry and called Papa John's. It's like a beggar who's completely dependent on someone else to give him something. Blessed is the man who hungers and thirsts. It's like, unless God comes through and satisfies my soul, nothing in this world will satisfy me. Lord, teach me to hunger and be blessed by you and nothing else satisfied. No sinful lifestyle, no destructive behavior, but only you. Lord, teach my soul to delight in you and be blessed by God. And I just want to tell you, if you allow your heart to engage that way, with a sense of passion, you will be blessed by God. Blessed is the man who hungers and thirsts for righteousness. Oh God, I just need you. And he does bless his people, and he does help them in the house of the wise. That's what the Bible teaches us. And number three, it's the third key, if you will. The third key, and by the way, no one take these after church. I need to get home. The third key to the life of wisdom is a hearing heart. A hearing heart. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, we read this in our main text. Listen to this. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. And let the discerning get guidance. So if you're smart already, get more. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and the riddles of the wise. Do you remember King Solomon? Remember David? He had blood on his hands because he's a fighter. And it was given over. The kingdom was given over to Solomon. And he was asking God in a prayer. And the one thing he asked, this is what the prayer says in 1 Kings. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only a little child, and you do not know how to carry, and I do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? What's the one thing that King Solomon asked? He goes, Lord, give me wisdom so I could have discernment. And if there's anything that we probably need in doing church work, in living a Christian life, or doing evangelism, it's probably discernment and wisdom, saying, God, we can't do this, but if you'll teach us, we could do it and have great success for the kingdom of God. I want to tell you, it's available that God will bless us if you listen and tune your ear to what he is saying to you. Proverbs 18, verse 15 says this, the heart of the discerning acquires knowledge, for the ears of the wise seek it out. It's never a matter of God speaking. I feel like God is yelling. He's screaming. He's saying, well, if you'll listen to me, Excuse me. By the way, his true followers will always listen to his voice. The sheep listen to his voice. If you want to be wise, walk with the wise. Now, I open up my heart to you just for a moment. I might share this at our missions convention too. But 3 months ago, I shared with you that our family was very relieved. My two oldest daughters were sitting at a light near Cherokee High School in their RAV4, 2005 RAV4. And someone came up behind them and rear-ended them and totaled the car. You know how it has a tire on the back of a RAV4? That tire went into the back seat. My kids were fine. But you know what my kids say? Dad, we need a new car. I'm like, okay. I said, we're going to trust God with this one. For God had blessed us with that car. I don't know if you remember, we went through a building campaign, a financial campaign. God told us to give away that car, and God blessed us with a car. So, you know how insurance works. You actually get to drive a rental car for 30 days. Well, they're not 25, so they use my car and then a rental car. That ran up. And they said, Dad, we're going to need a car. I said, we're going to trust the Lord. And do you remember, like, 2 months ago, we had a missionary named David Costin that came to church? A missionary. And I was sitting there, and as much as you're hearing my voice, I felt like I was hearing God's voice. David Costin said, we must walk by faith. Listen to God, and whatever God tells you to do, just do it. I told my wife, I said, ma'am, I think God is speaking to us. I feel like he's speaking to us. Now, God always speaks to us. He tells us how much he loves us. But when he speaks to you like you're the only one in the room, you're like, oh, he's speaking to me. You know what I'm talking about? Matter of fact, God was really touching hearts and lives. One gentleman in the church came up to me, crocodile tears. God's telling me to give my whole tax return to missions. I'm like, dude, are you sure? Because if he's telling you, just do it. But don't get mad at me. Just do it before God. I mean, people were giving money to missions and they had a heart for missions. That happens all the time around here. Like God's speaking to people. Well, I was sitting right there. I said, I knew exactly what the Lord told me to do. He says, I want you to give $200 more to missions a month. Well, we give our tithes, and we give a good chunk to missions. We got a kid going to college. We got another one right behind, and we're looking for a car and all this stuff. We're trying to figure it out. And I feel like the Lord said, I want you to up your missions giving by $200. Do you remember David Costin kept saying, if you walk by faith, without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you do what he says to do, you'll see God's hand. I'm sitting here like, God, I hope you're right. I hope you're right, because this is not funny. We had graduation, all this stuff. You know what? You know what's great about my wife? She says, this one area, if we feel like the Lord's leading us in that, we just try to get our hearts and minds together to do what God's told us to do. So she said, well, if that's what you feel like God's trying to tell us to do. I said, I don't really want to do it, but I feel like God's telling us to do it. Have you ever done that? Like, you're kind of like have this all this stuff going on. You're like, I should put this on Facebook. If I get 50 likes, then I'll do it. No, I'm just like. And so we actually had a little family meeting. I said, guys, I feel like God is walking us through this. You know what they said? We need a car. I'm like, okay, calm down. 2 weeks ago, after church, someone came up to me and they had like their cell phone. They put it into my face. I was about to go to preach another message. I had no idea what they were talking about. They were using words like, we'll make up the difference. They said, just come and just check it out. Test drive it, right? So that later that week, we went on a test drive with this car. This is a Toyota Matrix, 2007. They don't make it anymore, 140,000 miles. It was really nice, you know, cup holders and everything. And just a four valve, whatever, you know. These generous people, you know what they said? We want to give it to your family. And it includes title, tax, tag, everything. 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 And you know what I said? I said, let me pray about it. I said, we'll take it. I just said, we'll take it. I felt the Lord's presence right there in my life. Now here, listen to this. Listen to this. He's going through the Carfax, the third owner, right? So Carfax, it had been maintained by a dealership. So we're going through it, and the last owner's name was John Wagner. If you don't know, welcome to Marlton Assembly of God. My name is John Wegner. You should have seen my kids' eyes. You say, oh, you got lucky. Listen, I'll take luck any single day. For me, in my house, you can say whatever you want. Preacher, we can say whatever. But I want my kids to serve the Lord. And when their car gets crashed, and we have to find another one, we're putting kids through college, and I'm sitting there as dad, hearing God's voice, not sure if I have it exactly. Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm hearing your voice specifically. I'm going to trust you. Talk it over to wife. You make sure it's, we're going to walk by faith. My kids, they think God provided the car for them. My daughter goes, it's my car. I say, well, listen, when you pay the insurance, then it's your car, but you can drive it right away. My kids saw a process of us hearing the voice of God and seeing God bless. You know, I've seen a lot of preachers do a lot of different stuff. But if it doesn't work for me and my kids, then it doesn't work when you preach it. I want to tell you that if you'll listen to God's voice and you'll walk by faith, you too will experience the blessing of Almighty God in your life. But it happens by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you come to God, you must believe that God exists. And you put it before God. And as he speaks to you, you listen to his voice. Now, a lot of people, they want the big thing. Oh, I want this. I want to be faith. All this stuff. But usually what happens, it's usually in a church service or you're driving your car. You're sitting there. You got a free Slurpee this past week. Somebody, or you're doing Pokemon Go. You know, God's speaking to you. He just says a little small thing, and if you obey it, he'll lead you to the bigger things. If you'll walk by faith and trust him. There's an old song that goes like this. Deep down in my heart, the Spirit is moving. Deep down in my heart, as the prophet said it would be. All over the world, the Spirit is moving. All over the world, as the prophet said it would be. All over the world, there's a mighty revelation of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. I pastored in inner city Newark. And one of the things that would, when people gave their hearts to the Lord, or they would inquire, they would say, what's your horoscope? So I was born in April, and they would say, oh, you're an Aries. And one of the things they would do, they would check their horoscope to get information or read the future. Listen, if you'll go to God, forget that. If you'll go to God and listen to his voice, he will speak to you and give you divine guidance for your life. It's called wisdom from above. And now you always have to balance that with the word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 5 through 6. See, I've taught you decrees and laws as the Lord my God commanded me, so you may follow them in the land you are entering to take possession of it. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations. You will hear about these decrees and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. One of the hallmarks of followers of God is that they become wise. Wise to God, wise to his word, wise to the world, wise up to what Satan is doing. But God is directing your path and you're anchored in the word of God. Listen, moms and dads, you let your kids, they roam on social network and Satan is pouring into them. They're confused. Mom and dad, there's two women. There's nothing wrong with it. They love each other. The only problem is death to them. It's death. Can't have kids. John, two men. Come on, stop being judgmental. Come on, you're so narrow-minded. It's 2016. Well, that's why we need God's word more than ever. The world is gone in hell in a handbasket, and we need gentle wisdom from Almighty God. Listen, he will speak to your children. It will be real. They'll drive down the street and say, yeah, you know what? My dad lived for God, but look what God has done for me. And it comes from the wisdom of Almighty God. Here's the master plan for wisdom, for God's word, the Bible. Read it obediently. Follow it exclusively. Believe it totally. Study it continually. Some people don't believe this is really God's word. I want to tell you, it's all God's word. Always has been, always will be. Everything you need for spiritual and emotional health is right in the word of God. But if you put yourself away from it, you'll miss out on the wisdom of Almighty God. So this is how we close the service. Some of you need wisdom from God today. I have a word for you. James 1 verse 5, if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who generously gives to all without finding fault, and he will do it. Secondly, if you just want to be a wise person, maybe you made a lot of mistakes in your life. You dated the wrong people. You married the wrong person. I meet people all the time. They go bankrupt. Oh, I went through this investment. I didn't know this guy was a bad guy. I put my kids in the wrong school. You say, John, I just want to be wise. I want my mind to be wise. Then you have come to the right place. We are here to make you wise guys. You have come to the right place. But today, you have decisions to make. Where's your kid going to go to school? Homeschool, private school, Catholic school, or public school? You have an investment to make. Someone's interested in you on social media, wants to meet with you, you want to start dating them, they're not a believer, you need wisdom. You need to make decisions about your finances or your future. Saying, Lord, I don't have the answers, but I come to your altar. I seek you for wisdom and guidance and direction for my life. John, I really would like to be married. I need wisdom. Yep, I'm just telling you, God is the one who gives you wisdom. Or mom and dad, families, you just want wisdom for your life. Lord, it's not every little detail, but I just want to be wise. I want to know how to do ministry. I want to serve God. I want to use my money or my time. You know, the Bible says to be wise about understanding the future. You're 40 years old. You only have 40 years left. What are you going to do with that time? You're 60. Well, think about it. Ask God to give you wisdom. What am I going to do in the next 30 to 40 years? What's my direction? And then maybe let me just throw this out. You say, John, I'm good. My life's going good. Would you do something for me? Would you pray for the pastors and leadership of this church? Because we don't have it all together. We need wisdom. Right now, we've interviewed a bunch of people the last couple weeks. We're waiting on two important phone calls. If it goes this way, hey, praise the Lord, but we also could see it going this way. We're like, Lord, what do you have for us? Oh, Lord, we need your wisdom. You know, we have meetings all day long. In ministry, in church, you know what you do? You just meet with people all the time. Hey, come to my office 3 o'clock. We'll meet in the conference room. I'll meet you there at Starbucks. Every meeting we usually start with prayer. Say, God, we don't know. We need your wisdom. We need your direction. A couple months ago, Pastor Mike and I, and we had this outside group wanting to come in. And it's very confusing. Kept praying about it. They need housing for like 30, 40 people. We're asking other churches and special plugs and all of this stuff. And we wanted it to happen. We didn't. We just said, Lord, would you just show us? We're just so stuck. And you know what? Pastor Mike, just like a voice of wisdom, said, you know what? When it's so forced like this, I think we shouldn't do it. We all felt the presence of God. We just, you know what? You're right. Just not supposed to be, and move on. And boy, there's like this rush of adrenaline and joy. Let's not get burdened with all this nonsense. Let's keep focusing on what we're supposed to do. And God gave us wisdom. I want to tell you for your life, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will give you the next steps of wisdom for your life. Now, the most important decision is this, is accepting his son, Jesus Christ. The most wise decision you could ever do is receiving salvation, forgiveness of sins. Matter of fact, it's the most foolish decision not to. Think about it. You're going to die and go to hell, or you can receive the wisdom of God. His love and his mercy. Lord, I need you. That's the first step. But as a follower of Jesus, you walk in wisdom. Lord, teach me your ways. Teach me your scriptures. Teach me what you think. Give me your heart. Give me your passion. Teach me. Guide my steps. I need wisdom. Would you stand with me in the Lord's presence? I apologize. My voice went out. It went to Cracker Barrel.